The world is so big, so complicated, so replete with marvels and surprises that it takes years for most people to begin to notice that it is also irretrievably broken. We call this period of research childhood. There follows a program of renewed inquiry, often involuntary, into the nature and effects of mortality, entropy, heartbreak, violence, failure, cowardice, duplicity, cruelty, and grief. The researcher learns their histories and their bitter lessons by heart. Along the way, he or she discovers that the world has been broken for as long as anyone can remember, and struggles to reconcile this fact with the ache of cosmic nostalgia that arises from time to time in the researcher's heart. An intimation of vanished glory, of lost wholeness, a memory of the world unbroken. We call the moment at which this ache first arises adolescence. The feeling haunts people all their lives. Everyone, sooner or later, gets a thorough schooling in brokenness. The question becomes, what to do with the pieces? Some people hunker down atop the local pile of ruins and make do, Bedouins tending their goats in the shade of shattered giants. Others set about breaking what remains of the world into bits ever smaller and more jagged, kicking through the rubble like kids running through piles of leaves. And some people, passing among the scattered pieces of that great overturned jigsaw puzzle, start to pick up a piece here, a piece there, with a vague yet irresistible notion that perhaps something might be done about putting the thing back together again. Two difficulties with this latter scheme at once present themselves. First of all, we have only ever glimpsed, as if through half-closed lids, the picture on the lid of the jigsaw puzzle box. Second, no matter how diligent we have been about picking up pieces along the way, we will never have anywhere near enough of them to finish the job. The most we can hope to accomplish with our handful of salvaged bits, the bittersweet harvest of observation and experience, is to build a little world of our own, a scale model of that mysterious, original, unbroken, half-remembered. Of course, the worlds we build out of our store of fragments can only be approximations, partial and inaccurate. As representations of the vanished whole that haunts us, they must be accounted failures. And yet in that very failure, in their gaps and inaccuracies, they may yet be faithful maps, accurate scale models of this beautiful and broken world. We call these scale models works of art. In their set design and camera work, their use of stop motion, maps, and models, Wes Anderson's films readily, even eagerly, concede the miniature quality of the worlds he builds. And yet these worlds span continents and decades. They comprise crime, adultery, brutality, suicide, the death of a parent, the drowning of a child, moments of profound joy and transcendence. Vladimir Nabokov, his life cleaved by exile, created a miniature version of the homeland he would never see again, and tucked it with a jeweler's precision into the housing of John Shade's miniature epic of family sorrow. Anderson, who has suggested that the breakup of his parents' marriage was a defining experience of his life, adopts a Nabokovian procedure with the families or quasi-families at the heart of all his films, from Rushmore forward, creating a series of scale model households that, like the Zemblas and Estotilans and other lost kingdoms by the sea in Nabokov, intensify our experience of brokenness and loss by compressing them. That is the paradoxical power of the scale model. A child holding a globe has a more direct, more intuitive grasp of the Earth's scope and variety, of its local vastness and its cosmic tininess, than a man who spends a year in circumnavigation. Grief at full scale is too big for us to take in. It literally cannot be comprehended. Anderson, like Nabokov, understands that distance can increase our understanding of grief, allowing us to see it whole. But distance does not, ought not, necessarily imply a withdrawal. In order to gain sufficient perspective on the pain of exile and the murder of his father, Nabokov did not, in writing Pale Fire, step back from them. He reduced their scale and let his patience, his precision, his mastery of detail, the god of the model maker, do the rest.